Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Truer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Phil, I want to read you something.
You read it to me, Rick.
I'm quoting.
Yep.
Erin deserves to have the best and fairest medal named after her. She typifies everything that it means to be a great athlete and has set a benchmark for an Australian female in sport. I don't care what anyone else says, there will never be another Erin Phillips. That is a quote from inaugural Adelaide AFLW Premiership coach Bec Goddard, calling on the league to name its best and fairest medal after the dual winner, Erin Phillips. What do you reckon?
Look, I'm quite probably the medal. Yep, happy with that. But they're talking statues and everything, Rick. And that is phenomenal because I'll give her the benefit of that. Let's say she's played 20 games for the Adelaide Crows.
That's as many as she possibly... She missed all last year.
And she missed last year. Let's say she's played 20 games and that's all she's played. Yes, she's got two best and fairest, couple premierships under her belt. Fantastic. But that's not... We've got athletes. I know you've got a little list there of some female athletes that perhaps should have something, a bit more recognition about them. And, there's footballers out there that have played 400, 500 games, and they haven't got a statue sitting there of them.
Phil, I couldn't agree more. I think probably the reaction has been brought about because... someone very high up in the soccer federation said, well, what can you learn from the AFLW football popularity? He said, you can learn that if you've got a multi-million dollar organisation supporting called the AFL, you can hype up anything. Well. And that's the problem. This is new stuff. Now, I've got no objection, but the reality is that nobody, it seems, are comparing standards of anything. Now, the funny thing is that with Erin Phillips, she has no wonder she's the most dominant player in this very newly formed league, playing about seven games a year, because she actually grew up playing football because of her father.
Absolutely.
So unlike, I guess, I'd find it hard to believe, I don't quite know, but... I would find it hard to believe that there weren't possibly one or two other women in the AFLW who've got a bit of a footy background, but nothing like Erin Phillips. I even heard one of her early coaches, a bloke by the name of John Cale, who's got a reasonably big track record at Port Adelaide.
Would he have a bronze statue? No, he wouldn't have a bronze statue out the front.
He actually reckons that Erin Phillips was probably the best underage footballer, girl or boy, that he's ever seen play. Now, that all makes a lot of logical sense that she is, even at the age of 30-odd, having spent an amazingly successful sporting career playing basketball, simply because she couldn't play football, but... That gives her a huge head start,
a big head start on all the others.
And so that really explains, partly at least, why she has been such a dominant force in the AFLW. And I totally agree with you. Good luck to her. I would still say that, given that it's only three seasons old and they're sort of mini series of seven weeks, that it's still a bit radical for anyone to even claim that with two best, you know, the equivalent of the Brownlow wins, that the medal should be named after her. I'd leave it like it, just called the best and fairest medal or whatever it is, until 20 years have elapsed and then let it settle down. I mean, who knows, in 20 years' time, the competition may still exist. It might be full-time, it might not exist. Who knows? But after three seven-week seasons, the cries for statues and whatever. I did a quick think. I know that's a very strange thing.
You done what?
And I just came up, you know, with some South Australian sports girls. And
well, I'll go off the top of my head. Rachel Spawn's one.
Well, she actually is on my list. Yeah. OAM, Australian basketballer, three Olympic Games. Now, no one's called for a statue for her.
No.
Jenny Cheeseman, one of the most incredible women I've ever met in my life, represented Australia at basketball, netball, softball. Anna Mears, double gold medalist, cyclist. Chris Burton, Australian netballer at two World Cups. They won the gold medal, I think, in 1975. And then after she finished playing, has umpired netball at three World Cups. Now, you know, let's put this into some sort of contrast to a girl who's played, what, 14, 16, call it 20
let's
games
give her
of
20.
Age.
Yeah. But now, that's maximum of 20. But.
You know, there's too many people. The hype has been unbelievable. It's very well to say, you know, it's been a raging success. Well, I don't think there were 53,000 people turned up at the home and away games.
What did they pay to go?
Oh, a huge amount of money to get in, Phil.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
If they paid 35, and mark my words, if they paid 35 bucks to get in like you do to a normal AFL game or whatever it is, there would be 3,000 there.
If that.
You'd absolutely be looking probably 1,500. It'd be no more than an NSAFL game.
That's exactly right. And
they're
again,
kidding themselves if they think that's it's a free day out, yet they might buy something at the canteen and they've had a cheap day out. I think it's free buses in as well. I think they gave them free buses.
But, what you've done is hit the nail right on the head. The crowds were nothing special at the home and away games. And the fact is that, we'll never know. It's a hypothetical. But if that game had been played in Melbourne, Adelaide is a very Adelaide-centric town. Mm. And so it was built up. Perfect day, absolutely nothing to get in, and 53,000 people, you know. And I saw there was some media coverage of people saying, oh, only 40-odd turned up for the Port Carlton game the day
comparison
before.
No whatsoever. Comparison whatsoever.
At 35,
don't even you can't. You
$35 just, versus nothing.
Oh, that is just ridiculous. Yeah. I know. I've heard the same things. And unbelievable. Yeah. I don't know how they can even compare that. Because it's not even a comparison there.
No. And that's the whole thing. And the other thing is that, women playing football has been pretty controversial. They've played football for a long time, but only spasmodically until they really set up the Women's Australian League in 1981. But I did find something that you might find quite interesting. Would you believe 1929, you'd have been about 10 then, wouldn't you?
Well, I was still about 40 years away from being born, mate. So that's how.
1929, now this will blow you away, I reckon. Would you believe that at Adelaide Oval, there was a women's footy match between the workers from the Charles Moore and Co. Retail store and the Mirror Shirt and Pyjama Factory? Full-on game of footy, right? And it must have been a bit of a feature because the match started with a biplane flying over, dropping the game ball out of the plane, and that started the match. Have a guess how many people turned up?
Oh, probably 20,000, 15.
41,000 in 19.
That's as much as a Port game.
Well, that's right. 40, and, you know, compare the population. 41,000 in the population in 1929.
That's probably 80,000 now.
50, And so all this carry-on about, you know, the raging success, let's just wait and see. Of course, the AFL, because they want to be seen to be doing something, will support it to the hilt. But the end result is going to be the numbers game. And the other thing that worries me is that, it's happening a bit in the men's game as well, but you're going to find, if it really does take off, they're really only robbing Peter to pay Paul, because you'll find that the athletically tall girls or whatever, instead of playing netball or basketball, will play football because there's money in football. And so the other sports are going to suffer.
Only seven games a year as well.
Well, that's right.
Don't have to play a full year of basketball or netball or whatever you're playing.
So,
look, we won't harp on about it.
I think we should.
I'd like to see them charge $5 a throw to get in. And let's give it to Kids Cancer or some charity.
Absolutely. I mean, you take, even if it was a gold coin donation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Say, even at $1, $53,000, that could have gone to the Children's
Hospital
or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for them not to even do that is a bit of a worry. Let's just make sure that our listeners understand. I'm not personally bagging Erin Phillips or any other girl playing football.
She can play. She is one player that you can watch.
What I'm saying, and I think you're saying as well, is that this has been blown out of all proportion and hype, and it's time that everyone took a chill pill and a cold shower.
Yeah, absolutely, like you do.
Well, I do.
Yes,
actually,
I know.
Funnily enough.
I know.
And anyway, while we're on the footy...
Yes.
Did you hear about the game that the kids were playing at Holy Cross School?
No.
Well, one of the not-too-bright forwards in the visiting side...
Hang on, I was a forward.
Not too bright either. One of the not-too-bright forwards, he got a bit upset and started abusing the Pope.
Oh, no.
And the home team got a bit upset. And there's a bit of a riot and a fight goes on.
Yeah.
Anyway, after the game's all over... The team manager takes this kid aside and says, "Are you a complete nutter idiot? Didn't you know that Holy Cross is a Catholic school?" The kid looks at him and says, "I knew that, but I didn't know the Pope was."
No, I like that, Rick. That's very good. And they got passed by the
It got passed by the producer. Yep. So
all good. We're happy. There's a tick. Tick there straight away.
Yes.
We are running out of time, but we want to quickly cover the local footy while we're...
Yes.
And you saw a good game of footy?
I did see a good game of footy, and as an umpire, and I'm sure a man with incredible experience in the BLMG, you'll probably support...
Who are you talking about then?
You.
Oh, me.
You'll probably support... I'll talk about the game in a minute. I'll talk about the criticism of it, or the constructive criticism of it. It was ridiculous that... The two teams, both blue and white, wore their you could not, except if you look closely at the difference between a pair of white shorts and a pair of blue shorts. It was stupid. And the number of people around me who made the same comment. You know, I mean, I'm not sure whether it's just Angaston making up their own rules because they are the visitors, so they should have been wearing an away strip. But... It was so, I mean, South Gore is a big oval. It was very difficult to tell them apart.
Wouldn't have wanted a muddy day.
Sorry?
A muddy day would have been worse.
That's right. And the fact of the matter is that whether the BLMG haven't got a strong enough grip on the game or the rule isn't there, but one of them should have been wearing white and the other one should have been wearing blue. End of story.
Rick, this has been my argument since 1987, I think, the Gawler League came in. They should have had to change their colours.
Mm.
Gawler Central could be called the Tigers, but they're yellow and green or pink and black or something. Mm. And Gawler South are the same. We've got so many blue and white teams. We've got Barossa Districts who are blue, white and a bit of red.
Yeah.
You know, they should have changed their colours.
Well,
and that's been my argument right from the word go. There's always been a clash of colours right through. Well, we've got two Tigers. They're both yellow and black. Yeah.
At least I suppose it's the contrast, yellow being a very dominant colour, that in the games where I've seen them play each other, one's wearing basically all yellow and the other's wearing all
black. They've changed their Guernseys, I see, Gawler Central this year. They got more black. They're like Collingwood with the black.
Okay.
I noticed that in the paper.
Well, since, as you know, I've been covering footy now for a few years, and I don't know, but Saturday was the most difficult of all. The clash was just simply ridiculous.
I've had it with Williston and Barossa.
Yes.
Very similar. And one wears red shorts and the other will wear white shorts. Big deal.
Mm.
You're looking at the player, at the body, and it's all red and blue, and you're paying freeze or you're paying a mark and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, getting back now, we've got that off my chest.
Yeah.
Tanunda, obviously, comfortable winners over Williston.
Yeah.
I don't like Williston's prospects this year. I mean, prefacing all of this by saying it's one game in. Angaston will not finish bottom.
They'll be top four.
They have left the cellar. There's no doubt about that. Their recruits are fantastic. Yeah, I'd say they'll make the top four. The one that's a bit confusing after round one is the Freeling-Barossa game. I mean, Barossa have lost some big names. But but it seemingly looks as though Freeling at 15-3, Barossa 9-14, comfortable winners. But Barossa, whenever I see Barossa, they never seem to be able to kick straight at goal. And, in fact, although they've lost that game comfortably, they had 23 scoring shots to 18. So
could have won it.
I think you've got to wait on that one a bit. Kapunda 16-11 beating Gawler Central 10-12 after Gawler Central's recruiting. That shocked me a little bit.
No, it didn't shock me at all. But Kapunda will struggle. They have lost Darren Whistler for a season-ending shoulder injury. So
he'll be a huge loss.
They haven't got another really a backup ruckman. Henry Smith will ruck, and he's only
my height.
No, he's big enough, but he. Look, he's only a very, an average ruckman, compared to Aaron.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to struggle. Believe the full forward didn't play for Central.
Mercer.
Pardon me. He's still on a two-match suspension for abusing an umpire in the amateur league last year.
Right. So. I didn't know that, Phil. Thanks for letting us know. But I almost guessed that because he didn't figure in both the goal kickers.
So. Another week, I think he's got suspension. Yeah. So,
I think we've got to let it settle down. But I was impressed with Angaston. For the last 2 years, they've been at the bottom of the cellar, and yet their twos have been up there in the grand final. Now that they've recruited as well as they have, it means they've got a bit of depth. And I think they, as you've said, I think they'll finish top four.
Yes, my top four would be Tanunda, Newry, Angaston, and Freeling are my top four.
There's a big call early.
That is it.
I'd agree totally with your first three.
Yep.
But
Freeling to finish fourth.
Right. I reckon you could throw a handkerchief over a few. I would say my pick for four would be out of Freeling, Barossa, and Gawler Central. But I'm not brave enough as you are to
Barossa
go for
would probably
one.
Be the other one. But I mean, Freeling have comfortably beat them there first game of the season. Yeah. I realise that. But
and
I think
Gawler Central. Gawler Central when they get Mercer and back and settle down a bit.
Nah, they'll be bottom two. Bottom two.
It's huge.
There you
call.
Go.
Well, team, you've heard it first.
Rick,
yes.
Off tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
New York.
Look, good luck, Phil.
It's all caught up with me, Rick.
On behalf
of... The footy career, the umpire career, bowls career is all caught up.
On behalf of our listeners and the producer and myself, I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
I'll come and visit you and we can do our broadcast from your bedside if it's required. It's an ugly thought, but still.
You know I sleep nude. No, I don't really.
Well, it won't be from the bedside, I can tell. Oh, dear. Anyway, I think we've gone well and truly
we
over.
Have.
It's been interesting, though. And so good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
And until next time, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.